Your Bibles again, would you go back to John chapter 14, please? Go back to John chapter 14. Page number 1135, if you've lost your page number. Our text verse will be verse number 3 of John 14. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Where he is, we're going to be there one day also. Now, the message has a number of scriptures, so get your Bible ready to follow along as best as you can. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we've had in our service so far today, for the good, sweet fellowship we always enjoy here, the good music and the spatial, and now our hearts are prepared for the preaching of your word. I pray you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst, and I pray that you'll keep folks from their minds wandering on maybe activities they got planned the rest of the day, and concentrate on the preaching of your word. Save those who may be lost, reclaim those who may be backslidden, and do a work in everybody's heart, as only you can do, in Jesus' name, amen. Many of us believe the return of Jesus Christ is about to take place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's a real, literal place, just like Lafayette, Indiana is a real, literal place. And he has been preparing that place for us for some 2,000 years now. And no doubt, our mansions are about to be finished, and therefore his return is imminent. Believing this to be true, I want this morning to discuss what we need to do to prepare for his coming, and then I want us to look at the preparation that the Lord Jesus Christ is working on. So turn in your Bibles, if you can, keep something there in John 14, and go over to Luke chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter, page 1102. Luke chapter 19, page 1102. Last part of verse number 13. Occupy till I come. In our preparation for the return of Christ, we must continue to occupy, or we must continue to work. We can't quit. We can't turn back. We can't give up. We can't slow down. We must continue to occupy. And he said, till I come. Now turn with me over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That'll be on page 1228. 1 Corinthians 15, page 1228, and verse number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If I knew, if the Lord would reveal to me, and I knew he was going to return tonight at 6 o'clock, then I would still come to Sunday school. I would still preach as I'm doing this morning. And after the service, I'd go home and raid the refrigerator. And then normally on Sundays afternoon, especially if I'm preaching, I'll take about an hour nap or so. And then I'd have my wife back at choir practice at 5 o'clock. Dina don't like people to be late or miss choir practice, so I'd make sure she's on time. And after choir practice, I would greet some of those that comes in for the evening service. It's now about 5 minutes to 6 o'clock. So I'd take my wife by the hand, we'd go outside in the front of the church, look up to the eastern sky, and wait for the shout. We're now 5 seconds away from 6 o'clock. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, come up hither. And off we would go to meet the Lord in the air. We are to keep on keeping on as we prepare for the return of Christ. Turn with me now in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, page 1315. 1 Peter chapter 4. verses 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as if of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. In other words, let those of us who serve the Lord, we should continue to serve the Lord. We must continue to occupy till he comes. And if we'll continue this, it will bring glory to the Father and his dear beloved Son. We are to occupy till he comes by carrying out the great commission which he gave to his church. The great commission is listed in all four Gospels and in the book of Acts five times, so it must be very, very important. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll just see one examples of the great commission. That's on page 1004, Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to begin reading at verse 18 and following of Matthew 28, page 1004. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the end of the age. What is the Great Commission? We're to go out and get people saved, bring them in, baptize them, bring them into the church so they can begin to grow as they hear the Word of God. Now turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, page 1127. John chapter 9. The last part of verse number 4. John chapter 9, page 1127, last part of verse number 4. The night cometh when no man can work. Now let's go to Titus chapter 2, page 1284. Titus chapter 2, page 1284. And I'm going to look at verses 12 and 13 of Titus chapter 2, page 1284. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In preparation for the Lord's return, we are to live godly lives, honest lives, and decent lives as we wait for the Lord to return. So these are a few things that you and I need to be doing to prepare for Christ to come back. Now I want to turn our attention to what the Lord is doing in preparation for his return. So let's go to Acts chapter 15, please. Book of Acts, the 15th chapter, page 1169. Acts 15, verses 13 and 14. Acts 15, 1169, verses 13 and 14. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. The Lord is gathering together a people, both Jew and Gentile, for his name. How are these groups saved? Or how are they made ready as his people? There was only one way for the people in the Old Testament to be made ready, and it's the same thing for people in the New Testament, and that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary's cross. The Old Testament people looked forward to the cross, and those of us in the New Testament, we look back at the cross. Go back to the book of Beginnings now with me, please. And where is that found? All right, in Genesis, right back to the book of Beginnings. Genesis chapter 15, page 24. Genesis 15. Look at verse number 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now back to the New Testament again. Galatians chapter 3, page 1243. Galatians, third chapter, page 1243, and verse number 6. even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham in the Old Testament is just like you and me in the New Testament. We are not, I repeat, we are not saved by any kind of works that we can do. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, page 1196. Romans chapter 4, page 1196. Verse 2 and 3 of Romans chapter 4. For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. If you are saved this morning, then praise God for it, but it's because of the faith and trust that you put in Jesus Christ to save you, excluding any good works on your part. Now let's move on. In preparation for Christ's return, the Lord is conforming his people to be like his Son. In fact, he has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 8, page 1202. Romans, the 8th chapter, page 1202. Look with me at verse number 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So our Lord is conforming us. He's making us like his Son, and one day it'll be complete when the church is raptured. Then next, God is preparing the land of Israel for his return. Who owns the land of Israel? Who did God promise to give this land to? God gave this land in his unconditional covenant to Abraham and his seed. God gave the land of the Bible to Israel. Since 1948, Israel became a recognized nation to the entire world. They had their own government, their own flag, and their own military. Sorry to say, they're not in possession of all that is theirs now, but they will be one glad day. God gave to Abraham and his descendants the entire portion of land from the river of Egypt, the Nile River, northward to the river Euphrates. The Mediterranean Sea forms the western boundary line. The eastern area covers most of the Sinai Peninsula. But a great deal of the area is now occupied by the Arab nations. This is the only area on earth that God gave to a specific people long before they were ever a nation. It was given to Abraham's seed with no strings attached. Turn with me back to the book of beginnings again, back to Genesis chapter 17, the front of the Bible. Genesis 17, page number 26. Look at verses 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all of the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Then next, the Lord of glory is preparing for the building of the temple. There is a major current problem in the rebuilding of the temple. The Islamic Dome of the Rock now sits where the temple is to be built. The Temple Mount is currently under the control of the Arabs. It should not be, but it was given to them to possess following the Six-Day War of 1967. So how is Israel going to gain possession of the Temple Mount so they can rebuild the temple? No one knows. But God will intervene, and he will cause the Temple Mount to be restored to Israel so they can rebuild the temple. There is even at this present time talk going on about how the Dome of the Rock can be moved to the Islamic Holy Lands. All of the furnishings of the temple are now being produced for temple worship. Dear folks, the Lord is preparing his return to this earth. The Temple Institute, located in the old city of Jerusalem, is busily engaged in producing many of the furnishings for their future work. Many groups are working together on all of these things to make ready for the restoration of Holy Temple worship in Jerusalem in the soon coming time. I read a while back that a replica of the altar has been constructed and is being used by priests in training at this very moment. According to Zechariah 14 and other passages, when the third temple is built, that temple sacrificial worship will be reinstated and even continue right on into the millennium of the Messianic kingdom. Yes, dear folks, the Lord is very busy in making preparation to return. Then next, the Lord is preparing His church for His return. This current age in which we live is the age of the church, and it's been the age of the church ever since it was empowered by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. During the years past, the church has gone through times of revival, times of refreshing. Many were reached with the message of salvation, and scores of people were getting saved. But it seems to me in recent years, we have seen the church go through a spiritual drought. In fact, Christianity is on the decline. I heard this week on the news that Christianity is declining rapidly and will continue to decline in the years to come. And one of the reasons the church is declining and attendance is declining is because there's a famine in the land. Turn with me to the book of Amos, chapter 8. Amos, chapter 8. You'll find that on page 939. Most of you didn't know that even book was in the Bible. Amos, chapter 8, page 939. Look carefully with me at verse number 11. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." God's sin is sending a famine in our land, not of food. We got all kinds of food in America today. We're not having a famine for food, but we are having a famine for hearing the word of God. And why are we having a famine for the hearing of the word of God? Because the gospel has been perverted. And the gospel, the perverted gospel, is what's being preached in so many churches today. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, please. Galatians chapter 1, page 1241. Galatians chapter 1, page 1241. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 6 of Galatians chapter 1. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. As we said before, I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed," or let him be damned to hell. So many perversions of the gospel being preached today, and that's why there's a famine of hearing the true word of God. I believe we are in the midnight hour of prophecy. And if we are, what comes next? Turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew's gospel, the 25th chapter, page 1035. 1035. Matthew chapter 25. Look with me at verse number 6, Matthew 25, verse 6, page 1035. "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." This is a prophecy of the last warning message to be given to the church. I believe this message is to be given out by the church to those who are lost as a warning to prepare to meet thy God. The truth of Christ's return will produce more revival in the church than any other message that you preach. God is giving a special warning to his people before he comes in judgment. What else is God doing? God has been preparing his people for a prepared place. Go back to John 14, our text verses this morning, page 1135, and verse 1 again. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go in the way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I mentioned a few moments ago that currently God is conforming true believers in the image of his Son. I say true believers because there are so many false and fake Christians in the world today. We see them on television. We listen to them on the radio. We see them in scores of churches today. But dear folks, God can't be fooled. God knows who is real and God knows who is false. And one day he's going to separate them. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Page 1004, Matthew chapter 7, page 1004. I'm going to begin reading at verse 21 and following. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, what sobering scriptures. Go to Matthew 25 now. Matthew chapter 25, page 1036. Page 1036, Matthew 25. Beginning in verse 31 and following of Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Yes, dear folks, our Lord is getting ready for his return, and he wants you to be ready for his return. Are you ready? Turn with me to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter, page 1093. 1093, Luke chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 35 and following of Luke chapter 12, page 1093. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken. Be ye therefore ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Isn't that where we are today? We don't really believe the Lord's going to come in our lifetime. And many don't want him to come in our lifetime because they got too many things they want to fulfill, too many things, too many plans, and they want to fulfill those plans. And then others are concerned about his coming soon because they got loved ones and friends that are lost and unsaved and will spend eternity in a Christless hell. So how are we to prepare? We're to keep on working. We are to occupy till he comes. And we're to be out soul winning. We're to trying to reach the lost to come to Christ so we can get all that we can into the kingdom of God. And then we're to live godly lives, decent lives, holy lives, as best as we can. What's our Lord doing in preparation? He's building our mansions. He's calling out a people for his name's sake so they can live in these mansions. He is making us more like his Son. He is preparing the land of Israel. And he's preparing the church. My question is, are you prepared? If not, I certainly would not put it off. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that you've allowed us to live in this day and age that we do live. What an exciting time it is. What a scary time it is. But thankful. We've read the last chapter and we know what's going to happen. And we live in a wicked, wicked, sinful world today. And it's getting worse and worse all the time. And there's so much sickness and so much illness and so many things in our world today that we long for your return. And we pray that it might be soon. And if there's one in this congregation this morning that's not sure they're going to heaven when the rapture takes place, I pray they'll give their hearts and lives to Christ today. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're not sure about your salvation, if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven one day, then why not put your faith and trust in him right now, where you're sitting? If you believe he died on the cross and paid your sin debt, if you believe he was raised from the dead, and most all people believe that, then you need to call upon his name. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. Why don't you call upon him silently where you're sitting? Breathe a little prayer from your heart to God's heart silently and say something like this: Dear God in heaven, I realize I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died on the cross and paid my sin debt for me. I believe he was raised from the dead, and I'm trusting in Christ and Christ alone for my salvation. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, and take away my sins and give me a home in heaven when life is over for me, and I thank you for saving me. If you did pray that simple little prayer and you are trusting Christ for the first time, then I invite you at the invitation to come down and let us know about it. Come down here in the front and meet me and let me know. Bless the invitation, dear Father, in Jesus' name, amen.